Agun Erev Shabbos. Baruch Hashem, we're coming into Parshas Vayera. The Avram Avinu that was born so recently is already getting quite old. Like some people at the end of the Shmuz. Already getting so old, it's taking so long. But Avram Avinu is getting old. Avram Avinu is getting old. Avram Avinu was born at the end of Parshas Noach, Netano. It's Parshas Lech Lecha. He has Parshas Vayera. And Parshas Chayesara, Avram Avinu dies. And that's it. And he's around for one more Parsha. The Avram Avinu. We have to chaperein. We have to get as much of Avram Avinu as we can to be able to tap into Avram Avinu. Avraham Avinu. What can you learn out of Avram Avinu? You ever sit back? You ever think about it? What can I learn out of Avram Avinu? Not once. How old are you? 13 years old. And yet you had... And when did you start learning Chumash?
What?
When did you start learning Chumash?
Like first grade, second grade.
First grade or second grade? Say first grade or second grade. You're like 7 years old. 6 years. 6 years to learn something from Avram Avinu. You think you haven't learned anything from Avram Avinu?
I don't really think about it that much.
Oh, give out. Natanel, you learned anything from Avram Avinu? How old are you, Natanel? 16 years old, Ashrecha v'toivlach. And Tanal Tzemach, a wonderful, incredible person, who is mamish an inspiration to myself. They really are. A wonderful, really, really, a wonderful, incredible person. Last night, for those who don't know, he experienced, I wouldn't call it an open miracle, but he experienced a miraculous salvation. He was in great danger. He was mamish almost killed. He flew against a tree. His helmet got smashed in, and he's totally fine. Correct? And like the amazing person that he is, he thinks, "What can I do? What can I do to tap into this feeling of the bracha that Hashem has brought to my life? What can I do to express to Hashem how thankful I am to still be around? What can I do?" He brings a whole bunch of candy to yeshiva to give people the opportunity to make brachos. Give me the opportunity, 100%, give people the opportunity to make brachos. They say the big rebbes, they make, somebody once came up to a big rebbe. He said to the rebbe, "You eat, I eat, what's the difference?" Famous story. So this Rebbe said, there's a big difference. When you eat, you make a bracha in order to eat. I eat in order to make a bracha. Over here, Netanel Tzemach has given us that opportunity. Eating a candy in order to make a bracha, in order to say thank you to Hashem, to fill our lives with brachas. Fill our lives with... Who do we learn brachas from? You know who we learn brachas from? Avram Avinu. Avram Avinu, 16 years old, learning from Avram Avinu. Avram Avinu said, "You get something good, make a bracha for it. You get something delicious." This morning, I was in my office, so I was behind the door, and I hear a beautiful bracha. Somebody's about to make a hamitzah before they make a tefillah sedayim, loud, clear. And he made a bracha. I said, "Oh, amen, deep in my office, such a beautiful bracha." Hashem gives, in that case, you're thanking Hashem for delicious mitzvahs. A delicious mitzvah. Mitzvah is an opportunity. You connect to Hashem. Mitzvah, as many people know, comes from one of the roots of the word mitzvah is tzav sa, to be connected. You're connected to Hashem. You make a bracha. Hashem, I'm not going to forget this. I want to turn what happened to me into brachas. I eat something, I make a bracha. Thank you, Hashem. Thank you, Hashem. I get to enjoy. I make a birchas hamazon afterwards. Thank you, Hashem. This is not a candy. Looks like a delicious candy. Zazers. 3. Bala. Yeah? I don't eat candies. I'm sure I'm going to have this one. You have this candy, and it's not a candy. What is this, Natano? What is it? It's a bracha. It's a thank you to Hashem. And you learned that from Avram Avinu. 16 years. You get to learn that from Avram Avinu. You started probably Chumash the same time. It's very difficult to say thank you. And Avraham Avinu is a king of thank you. A king of thank you. I had a Rebbe Zichron Levracha. Shlomo Brevda, Zecher Tzadik Levracha. And her Brevda says a story. That one time, maybe I've said this story before, one time he was a young person. And he was walking in the streets of Bnei Brak. And it was in the olden days of Bnei Brak, a long, long time ago. Bnei Brak is a mountainous place in the olden times. Hills in Bnei Brak, like much of Israel. It was in the early 1950s, and there were no streetlights. When there's no streetlights, it's not dark. It's dark. Very, very, very dark. Beyond. You can't see anything. I was talking to one of my Chashuva Talmidim last night. He was on FaceTime. So I was looking. I could not see him. He was in an area. There was no lights. I could not see him. I saw the reflection of his glasses. But it's very difficult. He was in Bnei Brak, no light. No light. But he knew the path. He knew the path. There's a moon, there's a star. He knew the path where he's supposed to go. And he wasn't really paying such close attention. And as he's walking, he stops for a second. And he thinks to himself, in this area where I am, I remember that there's like a little bit of a, I wouldn't say a cliff. But like it drops off on the side. It goes down to the steps. But it drops off on the side. I wonder if I'm near that area right now. Couldn't see well. He reaches forward with his foot. There was no ground. The step in front of him, there was no ground. Obviously, very thankful, turns around, goes to the right, he knows where he is now, and he goes back home, but he is moved. One more step, he would have fallen off of this cliff, this high area, down the steps, whatever it was, and he could have died. One more step. He goes to sleep that night. I remember I had my car accident, a very emotional. You get very emotional when you know that your life almost just ended. And he was very emotional. He goes to sleep that night. He's so inspired when he goes to sleep. How he's going to be an Eved Hashem now. He's going to serve Hashem with joy. Wakes up the next morning at 9:30. He goes to shul. Doesn't really pay attention by davening. And he's, after davening, he looks at himself. Hashem saved my life last night. Why am I not transformed? Why am I not transformed? I said two answers. His answer he got from the great Gadol Hador of that time, the Chazon Ish. He went to the Chazon Ish that day, Rav Yishaya Kirelitz. And he says to the Chazon Ish, what's pshat, what happened to me? Here I am trying to feel the effects. And the next morning I wake up late, my davening, Shvach HaMaises, what happened? The Chazon Ish said that HaKadosh Baruch Hu places a Jew in a balance between your Yetzer Tov and your Yetzer Hara. It's a balance. And that balance and our pull towards each side is Bechira. It's free will. Bechira Chafshis. It's free will to be able to either go in one direction or Chas V'Shalom the other direction. When a person has a miracle happen to them, like happened to you, one side becomes too powerful. It's too easy to follow the Yetzer Tov now. Of course, Hashem's right in front of me. So at that moment, what Hashem does is he supercharges your Yetzer Hara based on your level now. Because right now, you've taken 50 steps up and your Yetzer Tov is so strong. So Hashem supercharges your Yetzer Hara right now and he waits to see whether you can take that challenge to balance it back out. And you weren't ready. And most people are not going to be ready for the challenge after the miracle. That moment, that next step, very, very hard. Because as much as my Yetzer Tov is getting more powerful, my Yetzer Hara is even getting more powerful. It's very, very dangerous. And therefore, the Chazon Ish told him, like, don't feel bad. It's not that you weren't affected. You were affected. But your Yetzer Hara has become supercharged. Rav Brevda, based on this, changed his whole mentality as it relates to his Avodas Hashem. From then on, Rav Brevda started dealing with the Yetzer Hara as one should, as it's a real entity. And he is fighting with you. And he is starting up with you. I had a Talmud in my office a short while ago. And he, like myself, like others, we're going through a struggle. And he's going through a struggle. And I said to him, I feel like the Yetzer Hara is trying to steal you. I feel like it's trying to steal you. You're such a wonderful person. You're an amazing person with such kaiches, but I feel like the Yetzirah is trying to steal you. You have to view him as an opponent. If you're always giving in, then you know that someone who's abusing you is now your best friend. And nobody would ever want to do that. To have an abuser, the guy who beat you up and beat your kids up. I was talking to another person, interesting, another person in my office the other day, and I told him, he's being nice to people who are mean to him. He's being nice to people. There are people who are mean to you, and you end up being nice to them. Don't be nice to them. You tried, and they're still not being nice to you. You're being nice to an abuser. Yetzirah is the biggest abuser. He's an abuser. He doesn't want anything that's good for you. He wants to hurt you. And her brevda was transformed. I don't know if it was just this or his rebbe's, but it was transformed. Yetzirah is a real person here. He's a real enemy of myself. What can I do to beat him? How can I charge against him? How can I make him lose sometimes and not win every single time? What can I do? But there's another answer. Why wasn't he transformed? Another answer is based on the Ramban. The Ramban says, based on a pasuk in Shir Hashirim, when you love something, it says ad shetechpatz, ad shetechpatz, ad shetechpatz, until you make it, until ad shetech. What does that mean? So one interpretation of ad shetechpatz, I mean, if you love someone, you should do it until you make a chefetz out of it, until you make an object out of it, until you take something material, like Natan al Tzemach, who has his amazing, Hashem loves you. You know Hashem loves you. You know Hashem loves you. Yes, Hashem loves you. Hashem loves you. People who know Hashem loves you, they smile more often. Hashem loves you. You're an amazing person. Of course Hashem loves you. Yeah? But he didn't just take that. What he did was, he made a chefetz out of it. He took something out of it. He concretized it. And therefore, as long as we can manage it, it'll stick with a person. If it'll stick with a person, then it'll become real by a person and stay as long as you can. It's very powerful. Sometimes we're very energized. I listened to Rabbi Milstein this morning talk about anger, and he said so many important things. I listened to Rabbi Stefanski. I remember Rabbi Stefanski saying, what an important idea, saying the idea that anger and chachma are two sides of the coin. When you flip a coin, you never get both sides. You could only either get chachma or you can get anger. Right? If I was smart, halavai, one day, if I was smart, what I would do is I would take a quarter and I'd keep it with me in my pocket. And whenever I'm thinking about anger, I would always look at my quarter because I'm taking something material, concretizing that feeling in order to make it last. It's not enough to be inspired by a wonderful speech, or it's not enough to hear something that really gets you going. I've got to do something and make it material. I have to say, Nebuch, this is sometimes, I read a book sometimes. Let's say I read a secular book. I was reading a book many years ago about Harry Truman. Harry Truman, I'd say of all the terrible people who were president of the United States, he was perhaps the least terrible person who was president of the United States. Okay, there you go, Harry Truman. So what did I want to do? I wanted to take something from this book. Like, so what did I do these years ago? I wanted to go find a commemorative, like Rabbi Milstein has all the old prutas and all these old coins. This is not going to be sold, but I wanted a commemorative coin of Harry Truman so that I could remember something from this book that I learned from. Okay, this is the old me. I kept it in my pocket, and of course, years later, I lost it, and it's all gone. But you take something and you make it concrete. It becomes something a part of you. And if you have it to look back on, so then it's different. We have, Baruch Hashem, a gorgeous fitness room downstairs. I bet there are some guys who go there and they work out and they try it for once, they try it twice, but they don't go back. And maybe a week or 2 weeks later, they try it again, but they don't go back. But if a person already sees concrete changes, I'm sure it's easier to go back. Let's say one guy came over to me this week. He told me that he finally got to the point when he wears a shirt and he's like, he feels like if he flexes, he's going to tear the shirt. He's at that point. Okay, he's still wearing a shirt from third grade. But a person he feels a change. He sees a change. You look in the mirror. If you don't see that change, it's very hard to keep going to the gym because you feel like I'm not getting anywhere. If you don't see your arm is developing, it's wrong because you should be able to see long term. But if a person sees the change, you have something to reflect on when you look in those gorgeous mirrors down there, you have something to reflect on, so then you'll keep coming to the gym because you see the changes. And you know, just a matter of time, more changes, more development, etc. It's the same thing. It's the same thing when we work on ourselves. If you want to learn something, and Meir, it's time we could all learn something from Avram Avinu. If you want to learn something, and we're losing him next week. If you want to learn something from Avram Avinu, then you have to be like Netanel. You have to take something concrete out of it. Something that's lasting. Something that'll be forever. Something that'll be forever. I'll tell you the truth. I had intended to talk about an entirely different topic. And but I'm just very moved. I'm very moved by a person who something happens to and he puts in the effort to transform himself. And Milstein said something wonderful. I'm quoting it like 12 times today. What happened is I didn't listen to Aaron Milstein's Parsha Shir last night, so I'm making up for it by quoting Aaron Milstein over and over now. Aaron Milstein says something. If there was an elevator, that you can go to Tibet, and you press the button in the elevator, and it'll take you straight up to the top of Mount Everest. Right? Ask this question. If it was an elevator, you take it straight up to Mount Everest. You didn't have to climb. You didn't have to go to base camp. You didn't have to spend 2 weeks. You didn't have to work on your oxygen levels. Right? You just simply pressed an elevator and went to the top, took pictures, and then you came back down. What would you say about such a person? To quote Ryan Milstein, you say such a guy is a loser. This is not a place for elevators. This is a place for a guy to climb up. Take that axe and go up and up and cough up your lungs and bleed and pulmonary edema and frostbite and figure out if you have enough food and get to the top and be like Sir Edmund Hillary, in case you want to know who that is. That's the first guy to get to the top of Mount Everest. You be like that, you get to the top of the mountain. You put in some effort. And when you get to the top, you're a happy guy. Then you deserve those pictures on top of the mountain as the snow swirls around you. Take an elevator, boop, top floor, boop, and you go all the way up. Take a picture and go back down. You've taken achievements and you've taken all of the geschmack out of it, all of the effort out of it. Each one of us here, why do I say learn from Avram Avinu? I never thought about it. I never thought about learning. How do we expect to tap into our own genes? Inside of you, Yosef, you have great genes. You have great DNA. You have something in your body that says, I can be great. Imagine you had an opportunity to meet a Gadol B'Yisrael. Put Gadol here. Rav Moshe Feinstein. You got to meet Rav Moshe Feinstein as a kid. And you knew, you were in a time machine. You knew that in the future, Rav Moshe Feinstein is going to become the Gadol Hadar, the greatest genius of his time, and years past him, and years ahead of him, Rav Moshe Feinstein. You met him as a 15-year-old kid. And he was learning in yeshiva with you. And you came over to him, and Rav Moshe says to you, you know what? I don't really feel like I'm getting anywhere. So you know what you tell him? You know he's going to become a Moshe Feinstein. But you tell him, I don't think you're going to get anywhere either. I'd quit now if I were you. And you know he listens to you. What'd you just do? You stole our Gadol Hadar. You stole our future leader. And he's gone. Rav Moshe Feinstein, the leader of Jewry. You lost him. There's no reason why we shouldn't be looking at ourselves like that. Every time we quit on ourselves, we give up on ourselves, we don't want to learn from our DNA, from our Avraham Avinu, Yitzchak Yaakov, we don't want to learn, you are stealing a future Gadol B'Yisrael. We look at you and we see something else. You look in the mirror and you see, I'm just a kid. A kid with a future, a kid with greatness, a kid with opportunity. But a kid. We look at you and we see a Gadol B'Yisrael. We see Rav Moshe Feinstein that is looking at himself and saying, maybe I can, waiting for somebody to say, yes, you can, of course you can. And then one day you're going to end up being huge. But don't lose us Gadolim here. We don't want to lose a Gadol. I look around this room. I look at a person I'm dedicating my whole speech to. I look around this room. I look at Meir, who looks at himself and looks for an opportunity to be great. Ah, yeah, 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 yeah. It's a wonderful book. It's called the Chumash. Open it up. Look inside. It talks about your father, your grandfather, your great-grandfather. And by looking at it, you'll be able to see. I don't want to steal Rav Moshe Feinstein. I don't want to steal Rav Meir Weiss or Rav Meir Weiss. I don't want to steal Natan Al-Tzemach. I don't want to steal any of the future leaders of the Jewish people. I don't want to do it. And therefore, I'm going to try to figure out. No buttons to get to Mount Everest. For me, what am I going to do? How are you going to get on Mount Everest? Are you going to press a button? You going to press a button? You climb it. Everyone have a beautiful Shabbos. There's a